The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Good morning, everyone. A pleasure to have you along on this Thursday, August the 6th, 2026. Yes, indeed. I'm Peter Christian. That is Mr. Nick Christensen over there. Mr. Nick, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And we have a special guest for the entire 2 hours. And it's a voice that I know you're going to recognize. It's Russell Nimitz. He's with the Western Ag Network. And you become an iconic voice in our lives over the many years I've been working here in local radio. You guys are always there. And first of all, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, sir. How are you?
Well, gentlemen, thank you and good morning. And I'm excited to be part of the program for the next couple hours. And hey, back at you. You guys have been at it for some time, too. There's a few of us out there left that still have a passion for local radio and everything that it does for our local and our rural communities. And it's going to be a fun couple of hours.
Well, Russell, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into this business.
You know, it's hard to believe. You and I were just talking before we went on air. I actually started in the broadcast business in 1996. So I guess this would kind of mark my 30th anniversary, if you want to look at it that way. And believe it or not, I was raised in production agriculture along Montana's beautiful and scenic Milk River. Wow. Outside the little town of Chinook. And, that family ranch is still in operation up there. My brother runs that, my brother Chris and his family. And, you know, we decided a long time ago as siblings that he liked to talk to the cows and I like to talk about the cows. And so it was a great divorce, I guess, if you want to call it. But, I still live and breathe production agriculture and the ag industry. And so I decided, I fell in love, I guess, kind of watching some of the other icons in the business back in the day, like the Conrad Burnses of the world, right. The Evan Slacks, even the Taylor Browns and the Rick Haineses and some of those other legends, you know, over in the Midwest, like the Max Armstrongs and Orion Samuelsons. And I was trying to pick a career, I guess, if I didn't really want to be directly involved with production agriculture, you know, how could I still stay intimately involved with the ag industry in rural America? And I was like, man, those guys look like they have a lot of fun. They get to talk on the radio. They even get to be on television sometimes. I mean, and they travel all over and they meet new friends and people. And so, on a whim, I just decided to, I guess, leave the ranch, go back to college here in Billings, get a mass communications degree, and was lucky enough to land at another network for quite a few years and get my feet wet. And then I just kind of climbed the totem pole and then eventually had the opportunity in 2020 to buy the Evan Slack Radio Network. He was based out of Denver, Colorado, and had some affiliates in Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado. And he came to my wife, Rachel, and I and said it was time for him to retire. And, wow. And I had kind of climbed the totem pole as far as I could go at the other outfit and decided, yeah, I think I can do this. And so we bought the Evan Slack Network in August of 2020, rebranded it the Western Ag Network. We started with 15, I guess you would call them heritage radio affiliates that were still left in those three states. And fast forward now, gentlemen, to August of 2026, I guess, heck, almost 3 years on the, or 6 years on the dot. Yeah. Now we've gone from 15 affiliates to 230 in 17 states.
Wow. So, well, that is a good place to, a very good place to take our first break. 406-721-1290 is our number. Thanks for joining us here at TalkBack Statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The
in a world of
Here's your updated Town Square weather. Areas of smoke persisting through the first part of the day, but then generally sunny and warmer. Highs around 90, although they could be closer to the mid-90s in some places like Plains and the lower Clark Fork Valley. Some patchy smoke will move back in Thursday night into Friday, but after a week when we've seen some areas crowd the freezing mark, low temperatures will moderate and be back in the low 40s to low 50s. The heat will kick in for the weekend. Expect highs into the mid-90s, maybe the upper 90s, and Stage 2 fire restrictions.
Hey, we're back. This is Talk Back. Glad to have you along on this Thursday, August 6th. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls this morning. And we are privileged to have with us a genuine icon of agriculture broadcasting, Russell Nimitz. And Russell, let's continue a little bit for our audience who may not be familiar with what you do with the Western Ag Network. Tell us a little bit more about your history and where you are right now.
Well, I appreciate that, you guys. And, you know, before the break, just kind of talking a little bit about the footprint and how we started and my history in the business and longevity, I guess, if you want to call it something like that. 30-plus years heading into 2027 as we do this program in August of 2026. But, you know, truly the Western Ag Network, I mean, our footprint now is 230-ish radio affiliates in 17 states. And it got its start truly in the mid-80s with the Evan Slack Network. And I bought that in August of 2020, and we rebranded it then to what it is now. And I truly have a great team, you know, from other well-known farm broadcasters like Lane Nordland, who's based out of the Great Falls area, to Haley Ship, who's kind of up in the Glasgow, Montana area. And then I have quite a few other farm broadcasters scattered throughout my footprint. And collectively, we deliver timely ag news and markets to all of those affiliates. And it's just, we're just so blessed to have wonderful affiliates like Town Square Media's affiliates in, not just here in Montana, but I mean, you guys make up a big part of our network in Wyoming and also in Colorado. And we're looking at expanding on some TSM stations down in Utah. And truly, none of what we can do and provide and serve agriculture in rural America could be done without the great radio affiliates that we have. So it's just a pleasure, honestly, to get to serve our farmers and ranchers and rural America. And we're just lucky to have affiliates that still believe in local radio like you guys that want to serve them just as hard and just as much and believe in local news, local weather, you know, farm news, markets, you know, and people are coming back to it, you guys. I mean, they are craving this type of information because they just can't get it on some of those other national services and providers that are out there.
So Russell, Nick here, what's your main goal with the Western Ag Network? Is it just to kind of get that messaging across? I mean, I know there's obviously a lot of things impacting the industry right now, but kind of what's the number one goal right now that you guys are trying to accomplish?
Well, truly the number one goal is to serve Montana's number one industry, agriculture. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, whether it's out here in the south central part of the state or it's over where you're doing, you're hosting this program in the western part. I mean, all points in between. I mean, there's farmers and ranchers and rural communities that depend on these cows and plows for their economic survivability. And our goal is to serve that industry just like you are serving your listeners. I mean, these farmers and ranchers, they have a lot of important national and regional and state headlines and issues that are impacting their way of life every single day that ultimately trickles back down to the consumer. Because, I mean, without farmers and ranchers, there's no food for the consumer to go to the grocery store and get. And so we strive really hard to be, you know, that voice for Montana agriculture, that voice for America's ag industry, America's most essential industry, I should add. And just, you know, be able to be on the air because of affiliates like you guys and give them those those updates, those, let them hear from newsmakers that are working every single day on their behalf, whether it's the Montana Stock Growers or Montana Farm Bureau or Montana Farmers Union or the Montana Grain Growers Association. You know, bring those stories, those interviews, those updates right to those men and women who are, you know, producing the food and fiber that the rest of us get to enjoy. Plus, you know, we've built our market, our radio network around. We still provide two daily market update reports, one in the morning and one at midday, that gives our farmers and ranchers, you know, still an idea of what the cattle market's doing for the day, what the grain markets are looking like. How did feeder lambs sell at public auction yards here in Billings on Monday? I mean, those guys are dialed in already, but they still like to hear those updates. And for the rest of the non-ag audience, everybody's tied back to rural America, or somebody can always remember grandpa's farm or their favorite uncle's farm. And even the non-farmer and rancher still enjoys hearing the farm news. I mean, I go into the grocery store here in Billings, and people come up to me and just say, man, I've been listening to you. I've been watching you on television for 30 plus years. I remember going to my granddad's, you know, farm or ranch, and I live in town now and I don't do any of it, but it's still fun to hear farm news.
Well, you know,
and man, that's when it really hits home that you're doing something right.
It's an iconic part of Montana, not only Montana, but all the Western states. And I know that you serve more than just Montana.
Well, I do. You know, I mean, like I said, we started this. I mean, it's not an ideal. It was, you know, I was lucky enough to bring a lot of my previous teammates over from our previous employment to help us build and dream this Western Ag Network. And you know, with the help of people like Lane Nordland and Jasper Gruel and Leslie Gifford and our television photographer, Paul Humphrey. I mean, those are kind of the core members of our team. We have grown this thing to something that we couldn't even imagine 6 years ago. I mean, we were just happy to be able to have the opportunity to continue to serve rural America, rural Montana, on those 15 affiliates in 2020. And then, you know, through my industry involvement, I was able to pick up more affiliates here and there across those three states. And then pretty soon I was visiting with people in North and South Dakota. And then pretty soon I was visiting with some people in Idaho.
Wow. Yeah.
And anybody that knows me and knows, you know, one of my passions in the broadcast industry is I'm just okay on radio and TV. Let's be honest. I'm not one of the great broadcasters out there, but I'm even better kind of behind the scenes on getting this footprint.
We are up against a hard commercial break. We want to continue this conversation with Russell Nimitz when we return right after this on Talkback Statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Thinking about building
small businesses are the heart of America. Like you, these entrepreneurs started out with a dream and the drive to build a better life. If you have a small business idea to grow or challenge to face, you don't have to go it alone. Since 1964, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. Today, they are the nation's largest nonprofit source of expert mentoring, resources, and education. Whether you're starting out, building back, or have worked at it for years, SCORE will match you with specialized mentors. Our thousands of volunteers provide the guidance and connections you need for free. Your success is waiting. SCORE is ready to help. Find a mentor today at score.org.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
It is the Thursday edition of Talk Back. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls this morning, producing Talk Back. And we're privileged to have with us Russell Nimitz. He's with the Western Ag Network. And we were just talking a little bit during the break about how overwhelming this all can be. But there's so much information, I know, that people need to know about what goes on to their table.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every day it's something new. I mean, there is so much going on in today's society. And we're going to talk about some of those issues, I guess, that are impacting farmers and ranchers in rural America, some of the challenges. But there's also opportunities out there. But I mean, yeah, I just hope that all of us collectively, I mean, we're doing the best we can to continue to educate the next generation of consumer out there that their food really doesn't just show up on that grocery store, right? I mean, there's a lot of hard work, tears and sweat and blood that go into that, whatever product it is when it gets finally to their dinner table. And we're just blessed to have some of America's and some of the world's best farmers and ranchers in Big Sky country, you guys. I mean, these guys are so darn passionate about what they do and what they produce and making sure it's high quality, it's safe versus, some of the other stuff coming in from other countries around the world.
You can have all the desire in the world to do what you do, but there are definite challenges that your industry is facing right now that maybe weren't so bad maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Well, absolutely right. I mean, let's just look at input costs, right? I'm visiting with you guys from the cab of my diesel pickup, and I'm thinking about my first vehicle when I got my license way back in the day, the late 80s, was a diesel pickup. Right. I mean, we had lots of them on the ranch, and it just made sense. And I think about when I would go to, the fuel pump back in the day, and I think I know I didn't pay any more than 80 cents a gallon for diesel.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, and then you think about what it is right now at the pump, whether it's on farm fuel or if it's on road fuel, the red dyed stuff or the stuff that you use on road. I mean, it's pushing $5 a gallon again.
Right.
Right. And that's real money. I mean, when you look at, and I'm just putting in 30 gallons in this thing and it cost me $100 a pop.
Wow.
Well, think about what it costs to put 100 gallons in or 150, 200 gallons, whether it's a tractor or a semi. I mean, input costs is one of the big headlines this year. Is just, these farmers and ranchers just powering through, like, putting the crop in, and now they're harvesting that crop, and, five, 10 years ago, let's say it cost, $500 to fill your tractor up or your combine up. Well, now it costs $1,500.
Wow.
A time,
Yep.
And those are real dollars and cents, you guys. But they're doing everything they can to stay in business.
You bet. Now, we do have a caller on the line that wants to visit with you. Skip is on. Skip, you're on with Russell Nimitz. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you, Peter. And Russell, thanks for coming on. It's fun to hear all the basics, all the little building blocks that you're talking about that most people don't even think about. And you make them obvious and important. And so I wanted to ask you something about what I hear often. It's usually from somebody like Mr. Schweitzer or something that I hear on the news if someone like you is talking about what's going on with the country of origin on labeling on beef products. And if you wouldn't mind, whatever you could give us for details and cliff notes on that, because I like to know where the beef's coming from that I eat. And then if I want to find it from some place in Montana, I'm usually having to pay a lot more per pound just so I can, I like getting good beef, but now it's getting up in the ionosphere, the prices of beef, even if it's a package that I don't know where it's coming from. So I'd like to know more about that. And and the details so that people realize even what's happening with legislation in Washington so we can maybe lock that in. How come that's not a slam dunk when it comes to labeling? Thank you, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what. We have about a little less than a minute and a half before we take a hard commercial break here.
He,
so
he can start that answer.
Oh, yeah, but go ahead and start the answer now, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I will. And thanks, Skip, for the call. And that is one of the biggest headlines out there. And a very timely headline, too, Skip, I might add, because as we do this, the Senate Agriculture Committee back in Washington, D.C. is marking up the Farm Bill 2.0. And one of the big issues that they're going to be talking about today is whether or not they're going to include mandatory country of origin labeling in that Farm Bill. So I'd love to dive into this deal because it's a heated topic out there, and it's kind of divided the beef cattle industry here in America. Why, I don't know, but we can dive into that just a little bit more and talk about the industry, the supporters, and the people that say no, it should just be voluntary and go about it a little bit that way after the break. Instead of trying to dive into that right now.
You bet. And he's going to be with us until 10 o'clock this morning. So give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Russell Nimitz, our special guest all morning long. We're coming right back on the Montana Talks Radio Network after this.
You've just had an
Here's your updated Town Square weather. Areas of smoke persisting through the first part of the day, but then generally sunny and warmer, highs around 90, although they could be closer to the mid-90s in some places like Plains and the lower Clark Fork Valley. Some patchy smoke will move back in Thursday night into Friday, but after a week when we've seen some areas crowd the freezing mark, low temperatures will moderate and be back in the low 40s to low 50s. The heat will kick in for the weekend. Expect highs into the mid-90s, maybe the upper 90s, and Stage 2 fire restrictions.
We're back on Talkback. Glad to have you along this morning. And our special guest on the phone is Russell Nimitz with the Western Ag Network. And I know that you were just getting into answering what Skip had to ask about. So if you could please finish that up for us.
Yeah, I would love to. Skip was asking, you know, where are we at with mandatory country of origin labeling? And folks, that's been one of the big issues in the livestock industry for about as long as I've been doing this, you know, and rightfully so, because there's producers out there and there's consumers out there that truly believe that it's a no-brainer. Why aren't we, you know, requiring meat processors to put where that particular piece of beef or pork or lamb came from? And that's a great question, you know. And then there's, you know, because people do want to know where their food and fiber comes from. And then there's the, you know, the opponents of mandatory country of origin labeling that say, well, we need to let the marketplace, you know, do its thing and make it voluntary, because they believe that if it becomes federal law and we require, you know, America's meat processors to do that labeling, it's going to cost extra, and ultimately it's going to trickle back to the consumer, and it's going to make, you know, protein in the meat case more expensive than, let's say, products from some of our competitors, whether it's Canada or whether it's, you know, beef out of Brazil or what be.
Now Russell, real quickly, why would it make it more expensive to do that?
Well, it's going to require more time and energy and labeling and expenses, supposedly, you know, at the processing level, and those guys are going to pass those costs down to the consumer. And ultimately, the ones that are in opposition of mandatory country of origin, I think, believe that then the retailer, you know, is going to pass it on to the consumer, but it's ultimately going to make full circle and mean less money being spent buying those animals from the ranchers that are producing them. So it's a big debate. I mean, you know, if you look at it, I don't know. It's being debated right now, as I mentioned, in Washington, D.C. The Senate Ag Committee is marking up the Farm Bill 2.0, and there was a big push these past couple of weeks from supporters of mandatory country of origin labeling and from those that don't support it, that would rather just leave it voluntary, to, you know, to whether or not it's going to make it into the Farm Bill and become mandatory.
You bet.
And so,
well, we'll wait and see. You bet. We have another. We have Rick on the line. Rick, what's your question for Russell Nimitz, please?
Actually, Russell, I have two questions for you. When I graduated from high school, I went to work in a butcher shop. We did all our custom cutting. We rendered. We smoked, and so on and so forth. And when I left, I'm going to date myself. When I left after the 2 years, we were selling a half a beef for $1.25 a pound, cut, wrap, and froze. It was probably before you were born. Yesterday I went through Albertsons, and three steaks were $78. Three T-bone steaks. I haven't ate beef in quite some time, other than beef ribs. So, first question: are the ranchers finally making money? It seems like they have to be, because beef is just outrageously crazy expensive. Second question is: the only beef that I really eat anymore, because I can't afford, is beef ribs. And I get those from a shop here in the Bitterroot Valley out of Canada. They're flash frozen. They're in a plastic sealed bag. They're much cheaper than what I can buy over the counter at the same butcher shop. Is Canada subsidizing their ranchers and farmers like they do the timber industry to be able to sell? I can buy ribs cheaper from Canada in the U.S. than I can over the counter in the same shop. So those are my two questions. Are ranchers making money, and why are my ribs out of Canada so much cheaper?
Tell you what, Russell, I want to give you plenty of time to answer that question, and we're coming up against a commercial break here in just a moment. So they're both very, very good questions, and I know you want to be able to flesh out those answers. So we're going to come right back. Russell Nimitz is going to be with us all the way till 10 o'clock this morning with the Western Ag Network, and I know you've got questions for him. So you can fill up the phone lines at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We'd absolutely love to have you on with us and talk more about where our food comes from and how important the agriculture economy is here in Montana and, of course, throughout the country. We're coming right back on the Montana Talks Radio Network right after this.
Hello, this is...
Back on TalkBack, 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. We're statewide, of course, on the Montana Talks Radio Network. I'm Peter Christian with and Mr. Nick Christensen producing the show. And our special guest, of course, is Russell Nimitz with the Western Ag Network. And I know Rick had a question for you before we took the break. So please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you know, Rick, your first question was, are ranchers here in Montana finally making a little bit of money? And you know what? I think the short answer is yes. I mean, because America's beef cow herd is at record low numbers, supply and demand. I never did very well in my econ classes in college, but I can tell you that Montana's cow herd, along with the rest of America's beef cow herd more specifically, has just been decimated really by this tremendous and devastating drought that much of the West is enduring. And a lot of cattle have had to been sold, and because of that, there's just not the supply out there, and these buyers are coming in and trying to fill their feedlots and are paying record prices for these calves and these yearlings that Montana ranchers produce, and they're some of the very best in America. And finally, they are being able to pay down some debt that has grown over the past few years. Some of the financial challenges that they too have had to weather, like Montana farmers. And long story short is, yes, they're, you know, the cattle market is at record levels. These fall delivered calves that they're selling right now at local auction markets across Montana on some of these big video sales that you hear us talking about on radio and TV. You know, back in when I was a kid, if we sold a 500 pound calf out of Chinook, Montana for 500, you know, for if we got $500 a calf, man, we were living high on the hog, so to speak. And, you know, that same 500 pound calf, this summer on these video sales is, you know, bringing in the high, you know, 25, 26, 27, 28, $100. Some are bringing, you know, well into the three thousands. And that's really helping our ranching community heal, you know, but at the same time, I get what Rick is saying. I mean, you know, I have to buy beef too at the grocery store, and I've noticed that, you know, even hamburger is tremendously higher, you know, ground beef all the way through the finished cuts like steaks and roasts and, you know, even ribs. And partly that's that, you know, the challenge there is there's just not the supply out there that there was. And that's what we were kind of talking about earlier is when it comes to supply and demand. And so I, you know, until we grow back America's beef herd a little bit, we get a little bit of help from Mother Nature. We've got to get some moisture, folks. I mean, if we're not going to get it in the form of rain, we've got to start getting it a little bit, you know, in during the winter. We've got to have some snow. And so some of these ranchers and people that want to get back into the industry can buy into it and start building this cow herd back up so we have more supply, you know, readily available. But in the meantime, you know, our retailers are backfilling the domestic supply with some of those imports. And, you know, and that's a big topic out there, you know, whether it's Canadian product like Rick was mentioning. And honestly, I'm not an expert on Canadian farm policy, Rick, but I would imagine that the reason that it is a little bit less is because they are subsidizing their farmers and ranchers up there, you know, to be able to compete, you know, effectively with America and some of the other beef producing nations out there. But you know, I mean, that's why we sometimes see some of that, those headlines out there, you know, well, you know, beef prices are too high. So, you know, an administration like we have, you know, does, well, let's bring some more in from Brazil or let's cut a deal with Argentina, you know, and it just, it really is upsetting to America's consumers and domestic ranchers that we need to do that, because not sure we necessarily have to just yet. You know, right. Let's see if we can get a little help from Mother Nature and rebuild our cow herd, you know, and go from there.
Let's get another call in. This is Catherine. Catherine, thanks for holding. You're on with Russell Nimitz. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Several questions, actually. How extensive is the federal government or federal oversight and control of the ag industry? How many agencies are involved? Is there any way that farmers and ranchers can evade some of the more onerous regulations by not taking money from the government? Also, how many local ag producers do their own processing and therefore not subject to the big three processors? And thirdly, also, government subsidizes crop insurance to the tune of about $10 billion a year, and probably more now. That's agricultural risk coverage, ARC, and price loss coverage, PLC. And what that does is it displaces private methods of managing risk and gives large subsidies to higher income households. I was wondering if you could talk about a lot of that.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have about a minute and a half, so we can take one of those right now, and then we'll continue with the rest of it. Go ahead, quickly.
Well, yeah, quickly. I mean, boy, Catherine, you gave me a lot of questions here, but we'll get through them. Your first one was regulations. Yeah, I mean, American agriculture, America's farmers and ranchers are some of the most regulated men and women in any industry. And even though it can be very stressful and it can be challenging, and those regulations tend to change with, you know, which party is in control of the White House and Congress. But you know what? We power through them. And at the end of the day, that is why America's food and fiber is still the safest, most affordable, and most abundant in the entire world. And that's true. We, for the most part, you know, we don't have the quality issues that, you know, other food producing nations have, because we are regulated the way we are.
You bet. And with that, we are coming up against a break. And when we come back, we have other folks waiting on the line and several other phone lines open. If you have a question for Russell Nimitz with the Western Ag Network, he'll be on with us till 10 o'clock. So get in the queue. Give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we appreciate Russell's time. And thank you all for calling in. We appreciate it here on Talkback Statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Back after this. Support for Talk.
When I deployed, I didn't realize that even the air we were breathing was dangerous. Veterans like us are now eligible for new VA care and benefits based on when and where we served. Apply today. Visit va.gov/PACT.
Okay, we're back on this Thursday edition of Talk Back. Our special guest on the phone is Russell Nimitz with the Western Ag Network. We're talking about our food and where it comes from. And I know that Catherine had some very interesting questions for you, Russ.
Oh, boy. Peter and Nick, thank you again for letting me join you guys here this morning. And Catherine, yeah, thank you for your wonderful questions. I think we talked about the regulation issue in production agriculture and agriculture as a whole before the break. You also asked me about some agencies out there that in the past have maybe created some unnecessary challenges for farmers and ranchers. And that, you know, I mean, that kind of gets back to the regulation part. It kind of depends who's controlling the White House, who's controlling Congress, and really in this day and age, you know, who's kind of on the bench there at the U.S. Supreme Court. But truly in the past, I mean, the three that come to my mind that have just given a lot of us heartburn over the years, whether it's farmers or ranchers or small business owners, the Environmental Protection Agency, all the erroneous regulations and just the hoops that they've made farmers and ranchers jump through, and you know, legislation that is passed in Congress that, you know, just creates, you know, layer after layer of bureaucracy and red tape and more regulation. I mean, they've truly just done a number on America's farmers and ranchers, you know, and you can just pick one, whether it's, you know, insecticides or herbicides or whatever else. I mean, the latest, I think, you know, over the years has been, you know, diesel fuel and DEF and all the challenges that particular regulation has caused, and extra costs that it's created, and engines that just shut down because you run out of that DEF fluid. And so they're working on that one. The other, you know, the IRS, I mean, they say in life only two things are certain: death and taxes, right? Well, I mean, the IRS is over the years has created a tremendous amount of challenges for farmers and ranchers and small business owners and just really everyday people. I mean, but we have had some relief in the past few years, and you know, a couple that come to mind, the Section 179 depreciation that allows farmers and ranchers and others to do exactly that, you know, buy equipment, buy back breeding stock if you're a rancher, you know, and have the ability to depreciate that and have it as a tax benefit instead of a tax liability. And then the other one I think we've really made some ground on is in the area of the estate tax or the death tax. I mean, holy cow, you know, up until just last year, really, I mean, if you died and you had a big estate, and I mean, most of it went back to the government, never it made it so hard for family farmers and ranchers to pass it on to the next generation, or a small business owner that's worked their hinds off to build something that they hopefully can pass on to the next generation and continue to serve that local economy, that rural piece of America, you know, and now they've made some tremendous strides. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's a good number now. I mean, for both individuals and couples, when that estate is ready to be passed on to the next generation, we've helped to ensure that most of it doesn't go to the federal government to be wastefully spended on erroneous other stuff. And then the other agency, you know, that's really created a lot of heartburn, you guys, for the western part of America, and that includes Montana, has been the Interior Department. I mean, over the years, they have just really tried their darndest to remove America's rancher off of our federal lands. And not just the ranchers, but they've made it tremendously difficult to go in and thin forests and do what the logging industry needs to do, which is basically turn those trees into 2x4s and jobs, right? You guys see that better than anybody over there in western Montana. You know how erroneous federal policy when it comes to timber management, what that's created. You know,
what it's created right now is we have a valley full of smoke.
Absolutely.
And we can't, like I mentioned, we can't even see the mountains because the trees are on fire to the west of us.
You know what happens, though, you guys, is I'm getting off a little track, getting off track a little bit, but we're not using sound science, you know, as a society to base our decisions off of anymore. And that, no more could be that said than in the timber management over the past few years, where we've locked down forests and basically just said, we're just not going to manage them. Well, that's not a good plan. You know, I mean, we have to go in there and we have the technology. The logging industry it's not what people remember it as, or what is flashed on social media. The days when we weren't doing things so right with the environment, we were going in and clear cutting and not, you know, but that's not how we do it today.
Right.
I mean, we go in there and we use the technology. We remove the dead brush, the dead trees, and we turn them into something that is usable for the society. Well, and then that helps with our wildfire management.
You bet. And we are just seconds away from a top of the hour break here, but another hour stretches before us. We're privileged to have Russell Nimbus with us with the Western Ag Network. He's going to be with us until 10 o'clock, and we're going to ask Al and Jeff, if you don't mind, hold with your phone calls through the break, and we'll come right back. Other phone lines are open if you want to get in the queue at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And thanks so much for joining us on Talkback Statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, good morning once again, everyone. Good to have you along this morning. And we are continuing from last hour a great conversation we're having right now with Russell Nimbus with the Western Ag Network. And telling agriculture story is actually what Russ does. And that's his not only his job, it's also his passion. He's an award-winning NAFB farm broadcaster, and he earned his bachelor's degree in communications from MSU Billings, and for 25 years, part of the Northern Ag Network's farm broadcast team, the majority of those years as its ag director. And now, of course, he's with the Western Ag Network, and it's always a pleasure to have Russell Nimbus joining us this morning to share your expertise. Russell, welcome back, sir.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Peter and Nick, and boy, hour one went by way faster than I thought it was going to go by, and appreciate the opportunity to talk about Montana's largest industry and most essential industry, agriculture, with you guys and the callers. And yeah, I can't believe it. I mean, I've been at this farm broadcasting gig for 30 years. I thought maybe I'd last 6 months or 12 months at the most and be back at the ranch in Chinook. But, you know, one thing led to another. And God, fast forward 30 years and here we are. It's just an honor for my wife and I to own the Western Ag Network, a radio and TV and digital network that now spans 230-ish radio affiliates across 17 states, most of them out here in the West, but we do have affiliates, if you guys can believe it, down in Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, three big production agriculture states down there. And you know, my team and I are just very blessed to be able to serve Montana on the airwaves with you folks at Town Square Media statewide every day and deliver the latest news and markets and interviews and just, you know, keep spreading the good word and the importance about America's farmers and ranchers, Montana's farmers and ranchers, to those of us that depend on their food and fiber every single day.
Well, what you're doing is so important because, as you mentioned, we need to know. It's very important for the average consumer to understand. You don't just walk into the grocery store and buy your groceries and go home. There is an entire backstory to everything that happens there.
Well, there is, you know, and every generation gets further removed from rural America, you know, and it's really, we play a very essential role and you guys do as well as reminding, you know, that next generation coming up behind us, you know, where their food and fiber comes from and that it just doesn't magically appear on the grocery shelf. I mean, we talked a little bit about it, you know, in the first hour that a lot of blood, tears and sweat from farmers and ranchers goes into producing whatever food or fiber that might be that they're buying. And it's not easy out here in the countryside, in farm country these days. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of geopolitical issues at play that are, boy, they're just, you know, there's a lot of headwinds in certain areas, but there's still plenty of opportunities. And these men and women, they're some of the hardest working people I know. And they're in it to win it. They're going to stay in it for as long as they possibly can. And God willing, they want to pass it on to their next generation so that we can ensure that most of the food and fiber in America still comes from America's farmers and ranchers.
Well, we are privileged to have with us, of course, Russell is going to be with us this entire hour. And when we come back from a quick commercial break here in just a moment, we're going to get calls from, looks like Alan and Jeff, who both have been staying over the break just to visit with you with whatever topics they'd like to talk about. But our guest on the phone is Russell Nimitz with the Western Ag Network. He's the owner. And we're going to come right back after this quick timeout. Again, our phone number, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Talkback is statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Talkbackers.
Here's your updated Town Square weather. Areas of smoke persisting through the first part of the day, but then generally sunny and warmer, highs around 90, although they could be closer to the mid-90s in some places like Plains and the lower Clark Fork Valley. Some patchy smoke will move back in Thursday night into Friday, but after a week when we've seen some areas crowd the freezing mark, low temperatures will moderate and be back in the low 40s to low 50s. The heat will kick in for the weekend. Expect highs into the mid-90s, maybe the upper 90s, and Stage 2 fire restrictions.
Hi, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. You don't have to have an amazing race to the doctor, but you should make time for routine cancer screenings.
I schedule my mammogram and other cancer screenings around my birthday and then treat myself to lunch.
I do too, because, I mean, of course, everyone likes lunch.
The C word can be scary, but routine screenings can detect cancer before symptoms appear.
And early detection equals better outcomes.
Go to preventcancer.org to find out which cancer screenings you need.
Hey, welcome back. This is Talk Back for this Thursday, August 6th, and absolutely thrilled to have Russell Nimitz joining us on the phone this morning of the Western Ag Network. And folks have been waiting on the line to talk with you, and I believe Alan is first. Alan, good morning. You're on with Russell Nimitz. Go ahead.
Well, good morning, and good morning, Russell. It's going to be great to talk to you. The reason why I'm calling is leans again about the cattle. And there's a movie out. It's called King Corn. I don't know if you've seen it, Russell, but I urge your listeners, our listeners, to get it and watch it because it talks about what has happened with our corn supply, how everything's gone to the big mega ranches. The corn that you see along the side of the roads now, you can't pull over and steal an ear and eat it because it's unedible because it's a commodity now and it has to be processed. And this is what's going into feedlots feeding our cattle. And with the cattle, their life, you know, there's so many enzymes and the fertilizers, everything into our meat supply that they really deem it unhealthy. And these cattle, the lifespan is shortened because they need to slaughter them. And I'd like to hear your comments on what we're doing to our food supply.
Well, I appreciate the question, Alan. It's nice to visit with you too this morning, and thanks for being a listener to the programs like this and our farm news. And there is certainly a lot of issues impacting farmers and ranchers. And I'm not by no means an expert in anything, especially animal nutrition. But I do know, you know, I mean, farmers are using different breeds of corn. You know, there's a lot of new genetics available out there from the different seed companies to help farmers grow more commodities like corn in states like Montana, where traditionally, you know, we haven't been able to grow a lot of crops like that. And just because of the short growing season that we have here. Now, I will tell you, even in the time that I've been in the farm broadcasting industry and moving from, you know, Montana's Highline to where I'm at now down here in Billings, that over the years I've seen, you know, like everybody, the weather pattern change a little bit in Montana. We are now growing different crops that, you know, 30 years ago I would have never thought we would be growing in Montana. You know, things like corn, things like soybeans, and other crops that were traditionally maybe grown in the Midwest. But coming back full circle, yeah, I mean, because of genetics, we're able to have short season corn. Now, I don't know what's going into that corn, and I don't know how to answer the enzyme questions and whatnot, but I do know that if we're going to have, we have to have an available feed source for these animals that we're putting into feedlots. And like we talked earlier, like that number has been drastically cut because of this devastating drought we've had for the past several years that has truly just decimated America's beef cow herd. Fingers crossed, with a little bit of help from Mother Nature, we'll be able to start rebuilding that. But yeah, we are growing more short season corn, and it's feed corn. It's not going to be sweet corn that, you know, some farmers raise on the side and still make it available at your local grocery store or roadside stands that we all love. I mean, I love that stuff too. Like, you know, this time of the year, I can't wait for the sweet corn to pop up on some of these streets here in Billings and swing in and pick up, you know, a dozen ears and bring home. There's nothing better. But yeah, I mean, most of the corn you're probably seeing on the roadside anymore is feed corn. And if you try to do that, you're not going to have a very rewarding eating experience. It's meant for the bovine. Yeah. and to help turn that, you know, that feed corn is ultimately designed to help turn the, you know, that beef into a delicious beef eating experience. So,
all right.
Alan, I'm sorry I didn't answer your question, but it was a privilege to talk to you, and thanks for calling in.
You bet. Jeff is standing by. Jeff, good morning. You're on with Russell Nimitz. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gents. Good morning, Montana. One of the things, when I returned to Montana 10 years ago, one of the things that I noticed and got introduced to after 45 years of absence was the distinctive voice of Russell Nimitz on the Northern Ag Network. And I've been listening to you for the last 10 years, and I do appreciate you being out there. A couple of quick questions and maybe a request. The questions are, how does the Western Ag Network play with the Northern Ag Network? And a request, if you could get Dr. Peter Barkey, who
Patrick Barkey.
Is Patrick Barkey, sorry. We used to do the Montana Economic Minute here. I guess he's on the Western Ag Network now, but I can't find his daily minutes anywhere. So if that could get placed more prominently on the website, I would appreciate it. My father-in-law used to say, talk about 100 years ago that California, they would dump oranges in the Pacific Ocean in order to keep the prices up. And that led to the USDA, the Department of Agriculture, or as some folks call it, the Department of Socialized Agriculture, because there's a lot of subsidies and stuff. And you talked about a lot of other agencies, Forest Service, EPA, that. But what changes to the USDA did you see happening that would benefit the local ranchers and folks?
Well, I'll tell you what, Russell, that's going to require a little more time than we have. We have a commercial break coming up here in just a few seconds, and I want you to be able to devote a goodly amount of time to those very, very important questions from Jeff, and we appreciate that. So please remember that Russell's going to be with us till 10 o'clock this morning. So if you have a question for Russell Nimitz with the Western Ag Network, that all you have to do is pick up the phone, give us a call. Several phone lines still open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5. 309. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at the caller ID. We have Chris from Columbia Falls and also Dave standing by that all want to visit with Russell. So we're looking forward to having him on with us till 10 o'clock this morning. If you have a question about where your food comes from, hey, give us a call at 406-721-1290 here on TalkBack as we're statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. While northern Idaho and especially the areas around the Spokane fires continue to deal with heavier smoke today, Montana finally seeing some relief. Most of the reporting stations across the state seeing moderate air quality or even good air quality across the Highline and at some locations in the Flathead today. Only the Southern Bitterroot, the Missoula Valley, and Libby were reporting the air was unhealthy for sensitive groups. The forecast today is for the smoke to continue to ease after a few days of cooler weather as ease some of the regional fires. Stage 2 fire restrictions going into effect across the city of Missoula as hot, dry weather continues to push the local fire danger to very high. Starting Friday, the restrictions will apply to all city-owned open space and conservation lands. Under the rules, campfires, outdoor smoking, off-road motorized travel, and the use of internal combustion engines or open flame equipment is limited between 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. In fact, it's strictly prohibited. Those also apply to state and federal lands in the Missoula area. Billings police getting to the bottom of that case where a toddler was slammed into the pavement when two adults got into a fight.
A video circulating on social media shows a couple arguing in a parking lot in Billings. During a physical altercation between the two individuals over control of a baby stroller, a baby is ejected from the stroller and lands face down on the asphalt. The Billings Police Department posted on Facebook stating that officers were made aware of the video on social media and immediately began investigating. Police identified all individuals involved and stated that investigators were actively working to locate those parties. The Billings Police Department also notified appropriate public service and child welfare agencies who were placed on standby. The case is to be submitted to the appropriate charging authority for review upon completion of the investigation. Authorities located the baby and transported the child to a hospital for evaluation. The child was treated and released. No serious injuries were announced. All necessary child welfare agencies were notified and involved as appropriate. In Great Falls, for the Montana State News Network, I'm Chris Cards.
Hi, I'm Attorney General Austin Knutson. When you see emergency lights on the side of the road, slow down and move over. It's dangerous for first responders to help motorists on the side of the road while cars are buzzing by at 80 miles an hour. In Montana, when you see emergency lights on the side of the road, you must slow down and move over, or face a fine or even jail time. It's the law. When you see someone pulled over, slow down and move over. Sponsored by the Montana Department of Justice.
Montana's future is on the line. Will you stand up and fight? Montana was built on hard work, strong families, and economic freedom. Americans for Prosperity is building a grassroots movement, and we need you to help lead the charge. Our wages are among the lowest in the nation. Our children rank near the bottom in math and reading. Home ownership is becoming an out-of-reach dream for many, while government interference and radical regulations strangle our industries. Join us today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Paid for by Americans for Prosperity.
We are back on Talk Back, and our special guest, Russell Nimitz, joining us at the Western Ag Network. And we have questions from Jeff that, lots of things on his mind that he wanted you to answer, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Jeff, thank you for listening. Thank you for the questions. And, I jotted your questions down because my memory is not as good as it used to be. So, but I think your first question was for me to explain the difference between the Western Ag Network and the Northern Ag Network. And I think the simplest way to put it is, yes, for 20 plus years, I was part of that team. And that's owned by Taylor and Shannon Brown. And they've been at it for 50 plus years. And they too have, a tremendous passion for serving farmers and ranchers and rural America. And, for the past 50 plus years, I've done a really, really good job of doing that. And I was, I was blessed to be part of that team, and they helped me get my foot in the door. They helped me, help me become essentially, who I am today and what I've been able to develop in my area of expertise. And as I said in the first hour, that just kind of ran its course, Jeff, and I climbed the totem pole as far as I could possibly get there. And truly, I had some other goals and dreams that I wanted to do. And so, in 2020, my wife Rachel and I we were blessed with the opportunity to buy another regional network. At that time, it was called the Evan Slack Network, and it's 40 plus years old too. Evan got going in the mid 80s with it. He had affiliates in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado. And, essentially we're two separate networks. The Northern Ag Network continues to serve, Montana and Wyoming and a little bit of the Western Dakotas, and they do a phenomenal job at that. And, we too, serve that same area plus 13 other states and about 200 more affiliates. And so we're different, but we're still all committed to serving farmers and ranchers and consumers and rural America. We just do it on a bigger scale. 17 states, 230 radio affiliates. We're the only network still on broadcast television every morning. When you're not listening to us on the radio, you can watch us every morning. We have a 5-minute report on nonstop local, statewide.
Right.
And plus we, we have one of the largest digital platforms in America in the ag space, whether it's Facebook or YouTube or Instagram. And so two different networks owned by two different families, but all committed to serving our great radio affiliates out there and our audiences alike.
Very, very.
Your second question was Patrick Barkey. Now, again, I just know enough to be dangerous because I was with the other network for 20-plus years. I believe that report, Jeff, is on the Northern Ag Network airwaves. That's not part of our deal. So that would be a question for them. I'm sure their phone number is available on their website, or you can Google them and find out more. And lastly, tying back your question about USDA, yeah, I didn't get to the USDA as I was hammering away on some of the other federal agencies a while back, like EPA and the Interior Department and the lovely folks at the IRS. But your question about USDA, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. It's one of the largest federal agencies in Washington, D.C. and America. And there's a lot of things underneath the USDA umbrella, whether it's government supplemental food assistance programs like food stamps, which is now called SNAP or WIC, and you name it. But I mean, when it comes back to production agriculture, your question was subsidies, and I was visiting with Peter and Nick off air. I was like, every farmer in America truly believe wants to make their living off the market. Unfortunately, the price of wheat today at $5 is exactly the same price it was in the 1970s. And the things that have changed, though, is a combine or a tractor in the 1970s wasn't $1 million like it is today. And so we're trying our best to keep America's farmers on the land. And to do that, whether it's challenges with the markets or it's challenges with Mother Nature, we have to help them out. And believe me, they're not looking for a handout. They hate that. They hate the fact that they've got to ask for help. Mm. They really do. You talk to any farmer in Montana, they absolutely hate that. They would like to see wheat at $10. And so they can make a living off the market. But in order for America's farmer, America's ag industry to continue to provide a safe, affordable, abundant food supply to American consumers and consumers around the world, we have to have that little bit of help coming from Washington, D.C.
You bet, and we're going to continue with that conversation when we come back from the break. Several folks, the phone lines are all lit up, people wanting to visit with you, Russell. We appreciate you, but fleshing out the policies that you deal with on an everyday basis and how you're working with the federal and state governments to try to keep us all well-fed at an affordable price. So we're going to come right back with more with Russell Nimitz. He'll be with us till 10 o'clock this morning. And, of course, you're listening to Talk Back, and we're statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network, back after this.
Small businesses are the heart of America. Like you, these entrepreneurs started out with a dream and a drive to build a better life. If you have a small business idea to grow or challenge to face, you don't have to go it alone. Since 1964, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. Today, they are the nation's largest nonprofit source of expert mentoring, resources, and education. Whether you're starting out, building back, or have worked at it for years, SCORE will match you with specialized mentors. Our thousands of volunteers provide the guidance and connections you need for free. Your success is waiting. SCORE is ready to help. Find a mentor today at score.org.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. you can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids are facing hunger every day? Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
Talkback rolls right along on this Thursday, August 6th. Our special guest on the phone, Russell Nimitz from the Western Ag Network. And a question from Chris from Columbia Falls. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Russell, there's one thing that seems to be missing in the equation. When you talk about subsidizing, this country was, when I moved here in the 70s, you know, it was a self-reliant state, you know. It used its resources and sold its resources, and a lot of that money was used for common sense goods in the state. And then the environmental situation came in, and you had a lot of people using your type of medias, which, you know, I used myself, you know, was to try to counteract those points. But subsidizing, you know, things like timber, for instance, you know, it came out of Canada. You know, we didn't do that here. You know, we sold timber. There were so many stud mills here in Kelsdale, Montana, you know, and they paid the taxes, the property taxes that people benefited from. And that's all gone. Every bit of it's gone. So when you look at what you're dealing with and who you're supporting, you have to look at the product that they're using. So, you know, if this is a resource state, and you need to, you know, understand that, you know, and get back to that, you're not going to solve this problem until you get back to that level where we're buying Montana goods, just like we're buying goods from the United States first, you know, and we need people that will review these things before they go ahead and start buying from other countries who can subsidize by their country, which they did, and they killed the logging industry in a lot of ways. So, you know, they're still doing it. So you're not going to fix this thing until you recognize what is the problem. And the problem is subsidizing in a wrong way.
All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Russell, please.
Well, Chris, I mean, thank you. I mean, and some great comments and some great insight. And, you know, the first thing I would just say is, remember, elections have consequences, right? And they really do. And when a place like Montana is, we have a lot of natural resources. We have a lot of farming and ranching. And when that's taken out of the equation, it hurts our local economy.
Hey, it really does. Russ, I think a phone might be ringing near you. We're getting a guitar played in the background here.
I've got a lot of background noise in the back there.
There's a classical guitar going on in the background. So.
Yeah, I know. I don't know where that's coming from.
Oh, it's gone now. It's gone. There you go.
Wow. I thought maybe it was your ringtone or something.
I thought we'd just have a little bit of a jam session. I was looking around for my harmonica to throw in.
I was going to start doing a flamenco dance for you, but yeah. Okay, so let's continue with the answer to the question.
Oh, my goodness. That was fun. No, I just said lots of great comments from Chris and a lot of great insight. And I think a lot of Montanans are really thinking the same thing with all the geopolitical stuff going on in these Western states and how you know, everybody wants to move out to Montana because of what they saw on movies and shows like Yellowstone and whatnot. And that's fine if you want to come out here. And you can't blame folks. I mean, Montana from west to east, north to south, I mean, we have something for everybody. But the bottom line is, when it comes to all these geopolitical issues that impact all of us, essentially, the only thing I really have to say is, elections have consequences, right? And you know, we were talking about the timber industry earlier, and we were talking about the ag industry and how when the, you know, the people that get into power and decision-making positions, whether it's at the state legislature in Helena or at the federal legislature in Washington, D.C., like when you make erroneous regulations, you make erroneous laws that truly impact the bread and butter of Montana's fabric, which is our natural resources and our production agriculture, how else are we going to survive if we keep over-regulating the very men and women that provide the food and fiber, that provide the revenue, the tax bases for all these wonderful small and urban areas across Montana that truly are the fabric of rural America?
And we're going to come right back, and we'll continue our conversation with Russell Nimitz. Dave, Tom, and Bruce are all standing by on the phone to visit with you. We're coming right back. Thanks for joining us, everybody, here on TalkBack statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You've been diagnosed with COPD, but breathing is getting harder. Everyday activities take more effort, and life feels smaller. Is this you? If your COPD is getting worse, there are options to help you breathe easier. Learn more at isthisyoucopd.org.
My name is Emma. After a car accident left me paralyzed, Canine Companions teamed me up with my service dog, Marcia. For 50 years, Canine Companions has been teaming dogs together with those who need them the most. Visit canine.org to change lives.
Hey, the Thursday, August 6th edition of Talk Back, rolling right along here, getting in the last half hour of our time together with Russell Nimitz with the Western Ag Network. And so let's continue on.
We have Dave on.
Dave, good morning. You're on with Russell. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm not opposed to farm aid. You know, it does a lot of good for the farmers and for poor people who really need the food. But we are spending $140 billion a year in farm aid money. And that is going all over the country, and it is subsidizing food for and the farmers, keeping food prices down. And I'm not sure that could be considered free market system when taxpayer money is being spent in that manner. But my question to you is the tariffs impacting the farmers?
Well, Dave, thanks. First of all, thanks for calling in. And yeah, I think to some extent the tariffs have impacted America's farmers, and you know, created some challenges. I mean, let's face it, we raise a lot of high quality agricultural livestock and commodities within the borders of Montana, and we're an export state. You know, we have learned that we are able to, you know, turn those livestock and those commodities into stuff and sell them right here within the borders, you know, at farmers markets and with the help of some help from the federal government, especially during the COVID years, really push hard to develop and create and allow local processing to really take a better foothold here in Montana. And so we are able to turn, you know, have some more readily available, you know, like, you know, beef and pork and lamb products from our local ranchers. But, you know, we have to export
a lot of it. You know, I mean, we raise high quality barley here. A lot of it goes to Mexico to be turned into beer down there and then brought back up here for a delicious beer drinking experience, you know. And you know, a lot of our, you know, a lot of our wheat goes to the Pacific Rim, and a lot of our beef goes to other places in the world. And I could go on and on and on. And Dave, you bring up a good point. And, you know, I mean, I think the tariffs have created some challenges, and hopefully we'll overcome them. I understand the premise, I guess, behind the Trump administration to do what they did to try to put these other countries in check just a little bit, so they weren't taking full advantage of America and industries like agriculture at our expense. But I mean, I think it's safe to say that everybody would say, you know, I mean, there have been some challenges that'll hopefully, you know, ease with time and get back to it. And like I said earlier, I mean, farmers and ranchers truly want to make their living off the market. I mean, they're entrepreneurs. We all believe in capitalism. We all believe in the free market system. I mean, even us broadcasters and owners of broadcast industry, we want to make our living. We don't ever want to take a handout, you know? And, but unfortunately, in order to keep us, meaning farmers and ranchers in business, when you're faced with, you know, low commodity prices that you just can't make it work, or you're dealt with a weather challenge, you know, or a wildfire challenge. I mean, sometimes you have to take the help to stay in business in order to keep providing that food and fiber.
You bet. Let's get Tom with his question. Tom, good morning. You're on with Russell Nimitz. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Tom, you're on. Go ahead, please, sir.
Okay, yeah. Let's get down to brass tacks here. The Democrat Party in Montana and in federal level wants to do everything possible to put the fossil fuel industry, the fossil fuel industry, the agricultural industry, and the rest of the industries that provide everything for this country out of business. They want to put the timber business out of business. So anyway, those three industries and the brass taxes, the Democrat Party is doing everything possible to destroy this country. So anyway, that's my comment for today. Thanks, guys.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thanks for the call. Go ahead, Russell.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's always the issues that are impacting, you know, the different industries that, you know, that basically provide the rest of us what they do for Montana, you know, and he talked about them. The oil and gas industry, the timber industry, the ag industry. And, you know, I mean, I think over the past 2 hours, we've covered, you know, the challenges that being overregulated can certainly cause and enable these industries to stay in business. I mean, I'm just going to say it. If Montana loses our ability to, you know, effectively, you know, utilize what's been given to us, I mean, whether it's the oil and gas or the timber or ag, what are we going to have? I mean, we're not going to have much of anything else. I mean, yeah, there's some other industries that'll provide some jobs and provide a little bit of boost to our local economy. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, folks, because I'm here to tell you, I mean, oil and gas and timber and cows and plows and farming and ranching, I mean, those are the three main industries that are still the backbone of Montana.
You bet we are. We are coming up against a break here in just a moment. And when we come back from the break, we're going to have Russell wrap it up for us with some final comments. And we appreciate all the calls this morning. We appreciate those very much. And when we come back from the break, we'll be talking with Russell Nimitz from the Western Ag Network. And again, we appreciate his expertise. And we thank you for all the input that your calls have provided to help make this a great 2 hours with Russell. So we will continue when we come back from the break, and we'll look at the future of family farms in Montana. We'll be talking with Russell about that as well. So thanks so much for joining us on this edition of Talk Back. here on Statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Nick Christensen over there taking your phone calls, producing Talkback. I'm Peter Christian, your host. It's a privilege to do this every single day. And we're going to be wrapping up with Russell Nimitz when we come back from the break, right after this quick timeout. Talkback continues statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll be back right after this timeout. Oh, it's been a... Hey, welcome back, everybody. Final segment in our time together with Russell Nimitz of the Western Ag Network. And Russ, I know that you are very, very busy right now with the future of family farms in Montana. And tell us a little bit about what that challenge is right now.
Well, it's been a great couple hours, and I appreciate the discussion we've been able to have with folks calling in, and truly a lot of great questions and a lot of great insight. And it really warms my heart, gentlemen, to know that, people really are still thinking about our family farmers and ranchers and some of our main industries in Big Sky Country, like ag and like oil and gas and like timber. And they still understand the importance that they play in the state's overall economic viability and how that all trickles back to our local economies and keeping our small towns and our urban areas alive and thriving. But we also have to look ahead, right? I mean, we're all getting older, and sooner or later, these farms and ranches and small businesses have to be transitioned into the next generation. And that's top of mind for Montana's farmers and ranchers. I mean, they're working every single day. I mean, it doesn't matter what ag organization you talk about here in Montana. They have the future of Montana agriculture as one of their, key priorities. How are we going to pass these multi-generational farms and ranches on to the next generation? How are first generation producers or somebody that's interested in getting involved with production agriculture into the industry? So I guess my message is, I mean, it's not exactly the easiest thing to do anymore. It's because of getting into the industry is very expensive. Land is tremendously expensive. Machinery is expensive. If you look at the livestock side right now, I mean, what we talked about earlier, I mean, record high cattle prices, whether it's, the calves or the yearlings or the breeding stock, like the bred heifers that you hear us talk about, and those are like 2-year-old cows that have just had their first calf or are going to have their first calf. And then, cows that are, pregnant. I mean, I'm just putting in layman's terms because those animals right now, are worth $4,000 or $5,000 a piece.
Wow.
And so how do you, and lending institutions across Montana, whatever one you want to talk about, I'm not going to go into it because they're all good and they all have like young ag farmer rancher programs that they're all working collectively on to try to figure out, okay, how do we come up with a program that we can allow a young producer that we can help finance them to get them into the business? And so it's a work in progress and it's challenging, but it's at the same time, it's top of mind, I guess, for everybody that wants to be in the industry and we need the next generation. Right. I mean, just like any right. business, we have to do whatever it takes to keep the next generation going in this business, because ultimately, America's food and fiber supply depends on it. Well, I'm telling you guys, yeah. We don't want to have to depend on imported food and fiber.
Right.
I mean, it's become kind of, a slogan out there in rural America. I mean, food security really is national security. And it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican or you're an independent or whatever you are. I mean,
we all know that any country that loses its ability to feed and clothe itself is in some real trouble.
Well, I'll tell you, though, the Western Montana Fair, as I mentioned earlier, is going on through the middle of this week. And if you want to see agriculture with, if you will, hooves on the ground, I encourage people to go to the fat stock sales and watch the kids as they're, you know, they're selling their beef cattle, selling their lambs, and the care that's going into those.
Well, absolutely. I mean, whether it's the Western Montana Fair or the Montana Fair that's about ready to get underway, or the state fair that just wrapped up in Great Falls, Montana Fair down here in Billings, and then county fairs across Montana. I mean, boy, if you haven't been to one for quite some time, I mean, go see it.
Right.
I mean, go do it. Go experience it. Go walk through the livestock barns. Go walk through the other exhibit halls, because not everybody has livestock. But I mean, these young people and adults that, you know, are taking the time to bring an exhibit to be judged on because they're proud of what they did. That's a tremendous experience, guys. Russ, I mean, and plus you get to experience delicious fair food.
Russell, we are out of time. Now you just made me hungry. But thank you so much for sharing your time with us. We appreciate it, sir.
Anytime, you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Mr. Nick, what's coming up on Friday's fabulous program, sir?
Well, you will get an update from Americans for Prosperity, Henry Kriegel. He rescheduled from Tuesday,
okay.
So we'll do that. And then a little bit of open phones until 8:30. And then Dr. John Lott from the Crime Prevention Research Center, he will be joining us from 8:30 to 10.
We love it when Dr. Lott is with us. He is a fountain of information, an amazing author of I don't know how many books, and he loves talking with our listeners. So we're looking forward to that visit with Dr. John Lott tomorrow. And thank you so much for being with us. All your calls, we appreciate it. And we hope that you guys have a great day. And let's hope we get some rain and get rid of this smoke. So have yourselves a great day, everybody.